Every year, we have the privilege of hearing this gospel on this second Sunday in the season of Easter. It's a wonderful, rich gospel. In fact, we'll hear a part of it again on Pentecost Sunday. It's so powerful, this simple scene of the disciples so overwhelmed by fear, by anxiety, by doubts, afraid that what happened to Jesus is very likely going to happen to them as well. And so this profound sense of confusion when Jesus himself is suddenly there among them, talking to them as if everything was just the way it always was. All of those memories, all of those joys, everything would begin to melt away in that powerful presence of that love and that goodness that he alone was able to offer to them. And it's this call for us to experience this as well. I just want to focus on two particular elements of the gospel tonight, because they both represent something powerful for us and in our own journey through this season of Easter. The first is that Jesus says to them, as he's breathed on them, as he's prayed with them, as he's wished them and commanded them that they be bearers of that peace. You know, peace be with you, that rabbinical greeting, Shalom Aleichem. Then he says, as the Father sent me, so am I sending you. And it's an extraordinary declaration. We're able to run it off on our lips so quickly, so easily. And yet when we pause and think, what does this mean? You know, as the Father sent me, so am I sending you. It's an extraordinary confidence that Jesus has in us. This power that he has, that he now knows has been vindicated by his death and now his resurrection. That all of this gift he's now passing to us, handing on the baton to us, allowing us to share in that same privilege. Because it says that Jesus needs us. He needs the church. He cannot do all of this by himself. So he's calling us to be his hands and feet, calling us to be the ones who will be there in the world to speak that word of encouragement to someone who's feeling down, to give a hand up to someone who has stumbled, and to be the ones who will feed the hungry, who will clothe the naked, who will be there to bring teaching, who will be able to offer that insight. Jesus needs the church in order to do all of these things, in order to receive this power. You know, he's able, yes, of course, to be spiritually present anywhere, but he needs us to be that body that we can able to be that comfort, to be the very presence in the world. When we need a God who has flesh, we need each other. And so he needs the church to be that. But the church also needs Jesus. That unless we do it in the power of his love, unless we do it according to his will, according to his commandments, his teachings, we offer nothing that an NGO isn't able to offer. So it's the transformation that Jesus himself brings that we need as an Easter people, that we're able to offer something that is extraordinary. But we also need to be obedient to Jesus, just as he was obedient to the Father. And so it's this that brings out and completes this requirement. Unless we actually are in love with God, unless we know God, know his teachings, know his commandments, are able to be immersed in the Word of God, then we don't know him and aren't able to offer again anything significant, anything powerful. And so this Sunday reminds us that we need to be transformed by his love, by his message, by his proclamation, but we need to be truly obedient to all that he's offering to us. Now let's just turn now to Thomas. Just in chapter 11, when Jesus is being invited by friends of his, by Mary and Martha, they send a message to him to say that his friend Lazarus is sick. And so Jesus waits a few more days because he wants this to be a sign of his glory, as is often the case in the Gospel of John. And then he makes his decision to go up to Jerusalem, to go to where the family is located. And at that point, we see Thomas say this, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." And so the thing that Thomas is lacking is certainly not courage. He has that courage. He's quite prepared to go and to be with Jesus in the darkest moment. He's quite prepared to go and to protect him, to fight for him, and if necessary, to also die with Jesus. So Thomas may be many things and may be lacking many things, but certainly courage is not one of them. So what is the fault of Thomas? What is the great thing that is wrong with Thomas in the gospel tonight? Simply that he wasn't there, that he was absent when the community met, when they needed each other more than anything, when they were able in that fear and in all that confusion, they needed each other, just as we need each other through our lives. You know, that's the problem when people think that, oh, look, you know, I can love God by myself. I can love God in front of the telly. I can love God down at the pub. I can love God anywhere that I want to. It's so fake and it's so false. It's just not true. And so this needs to be in community, to keep meeting together, as the author to the letter to the Hebrews says, you know, do not forsake the gatherings of the community, to bring that encouragement and that support to one another. There are two other great virtues that Thomas has. The first of these is that he refused to say that he understood what he did not understand, and that he believed what he did not believe. And he becomes a great model for us. You know, these things are good. So it's not necessary for us to lie to ourselves. It's not necessary for us to say that we believe this whole series of things if in fact we have doubts about them. So Thomas is a great model for us in that he was able to be someone who said, I'm not sure about this. I'm confused by this. I don't believe this unless I see with my eyes. You know, sometimes that has been discouraged. Sometimes that has been put down as saying, look, that's not worthy of true belief. But no, Jesus never says that he questions this part of Thomas's character and his personality. So to believe things that we don't really believe is no virtue, is not a good thing. And Thomas stands as a witness to that. But the second great virtue is that when he did believe, he went all the way. He professed his profound belief. And so what does he say? He says, my Lord and my God, the strongest declaration of anyone in the New Testament, anywhere in the Bible. There's no greater declaration about Jesus than in the words of Thomas that he's able to make here. And so it is this extraordinary state that yes, he was confused, he was doubted, but once he believed, once he was open to that, he jumped right in and made this profound declaration of faith. And we're invited during the season of Easter to do the same, to be the people that are changed and transformed by our encounter with God. But remembering that we need the community to do this. We need those programs. We need the support of others. That we can't do this alone. That the community builds our faith and the faith helps to build our own community. And so both of these are necessary parts and elements of this as we together make that hope and that declaration of saying, my Lord and my God, to Jesus.